Okay, it's always a pleasure to be joined by Pat Smith. You know him, WJOX host, Three Man Front, co-creator of the Paul Feinbaum Show, and just an all-around good dude. Pat, thank you for joining me once again. How's it going?
Everything is great in the state of Alabama. I feel so bad for all of our SEC brethren in East Tennessee going through these trials and tribulations like you're going through, you and Cousin Shane. So my thoughts are with you, my friend.
I appreciate that. Well, let's just start right there, Pat, because, I would have thought by the end of the week, people are like tired of talking about Nico, but the numbers suggest otherwise. I mean, they're through the roof. So, but we've kind of covered every angle possible from the Tennessee side. I'm just wondering how, you know, out there, down there in Alabama, what is your reaction? What is the fan reaction from Alabama and Auburn fans to all this madness?
Well, let's get one thing straight, Mike. You've been around the rivalry of Alabama and Auburn. There's not a lot of people crying, you know, for Tennessee, for them being in this quarterback situation. But I will tell you this, all kidding aside, the majority of our listeners to Jocks 94.5 and Three Man Front, they have applauded Josh Heupel. They have applauded the Tennessee administration for standing up and not letting this 19-year-old kid dictate the terms of what's going to happen moving forward in college football. Because this really was a seminal moment, in my opinion, of the way things are going to happen moving forward. Because if Tennessee would have caved, and Tennessee would have paid him for a mediocre SEC quarterback, then what happens in Tuscaloosa? What happens in Auburn? What happens in Athens? It would be a domino effect that would affect all of college football, especially in the Southeastern Conference. So most people applaud what took place. As soon as the story broke, I remember being on the air Friday morning. We were getting ready to do our remote broadcast, and the story came out that he had not shown up to practice. It was overwhelming. People were going out of the woodwork just praising Josh Heupel and for Tennessee for not allowing him to hold the program hostage. No kid, no player is bigger than the program, like Josh Heupel said on Saturday. So for as of right now, everyone loves Tennessee. Everybody loves the fact that Tennessee kicked the can down the road and is looking for a new quarterback, not from a competitive standpoint, but for the health of college football.
Yeah. And you know, again, I don't know how we got to this point, but I think it was inevitable that we were going to get to something to this or something similar. What do you think is a realistic option to rein all this back in, if they even can?
That's the thing, Mike. I know you guys talk about it a lot on your podcast. We talk about it almost every day on our radio show. I hate to say this because I'm one of these guys. I don't like the government involved in all the things that happen in your life. Unfortunately, I think the government is going to have to get involved and step in here. And the reason why is because there's no NCAA. I mean, when Mike Gundy gives an interview 2 weeks ago and he tells the people covering his program, first off, I don't even know what the rules are. I'm not going to follow the rules. And not to mention the fact, who's going to enforce the rules?
Just getting this out of the way, because I don't think you thought it would come together this year. But the NCAA said no to Deion and Syracuse on their deal. But the coaches have said, we're going to look at this, and next year that may be part of this. So your feeling on the that?
I think we should – I mentioned it the other day. I just thought of the deal with OU. I think it's a good deal. I would like to do it. I'd like to practice against them. You know, I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to waste my time on who's going to determine what the rules are anymore, because essentially there's not really enough of them to follow. And I'm not even sure how they have grounds to say you can't do it. Like, if somebody just goes and does it, what are they going to do to them?
So basically, he's given a middle finger to the NCAA, and there's no one that is going to be able to stop any school or any kid of doing anything. So I think that's why it was so important for Josh Heupel and Tennessee to do what they did. So to answer your question with a long answer, I think the government is going to have to step in. They're going to have to put up some form of guardrails. You're going to have some form of collective bargaining. If not, you're going to have kids being able to jump ship after, no matter what they have signed with the NIL collective, they're going to be able to do whatever they want to do. And so you've got to have someone step in and make sure that you have those safeguards and make a competitive balance somehow. The NFL has it. Major League Baseball has it. NBA. Everyone else has it. Now college football is going to have to adopt the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if it's not that, I mean, I don't even know if this is possible, but I think the SEC and the Big Ten need to come together and but I guess that's collusion, but I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. So
that will be the next lawsuit. You're right. I mean, if you're a Major League Baseball fan, you know, years ago, there was a collusion with a bunch of players saying the free agent market, that all the owners got together and said, we're not going to pay Michael Bratton X number of dollars to be our star pitcher. And so they went to court claiming it was collusion. And that's what you're going to have next. You'll have a collective group of players, just like you do in the house settlement. They're going to get together with an attorney, and attorneys are undefeated because they get plenty of billable hours, and they're going to sue, and they're going to probably win, because if you look against the players against the NCAA, they've got a really good record the last 4 to 5 years.
Yeah. Nick Saban, good. Speaking of Nick Saban, main takeaways from Alabama? I know they're still kind of practicing and all that, but out of the spring, I don't know about you guys, Pat, a three-man front down at Jocks, but this is, like, aside from Nico, been the quietest spring that I can ever recall in SEC football. It's hard to glean much of anything, but maybe the biggest storyline, again, outside of Nico, is, Ryan Grubb, offensive coordinator, coming out and saying Ty Simpson would be the starting quarterback if we played today. Of course they don't, but what's the biggest takeaways that you've learned about Alabama this spring?
Well, one thing's for sure, they would love all three of their quarterbacks to stay. And as of this moment, as we're doing this podcast, those three quarterbacks are not in the transfer portal. Ty Simpson's not going anywhere. Keelan Russell's the 5-star out of Dallas, Texas. He's got tremendous upside, but he's the future. So then you got Austin Mack, who is an individual who reclassified, ended up going to Washington. And then when DeBoer came to Tuscaloosa, he followed the gang to Tuscaloosa. And he's got a lot of talent. He's young. He's a big quarterback. And he's someone that just will grow into his body. He's got a big arm. And they would love for him to be able to compete and stay here on campus. So if there's anybody in that quarterback room that might get in the portal, it may be him. But it's been really quiet. It's been quiet at Auburn. It's been quiet at Alabama, maybe because they were all wound up because Auburn went to the Final Four in basketball and Alabama got to the Elite Eight. That's dominated the conversation. So it's been kind of interesting. It's just been a very quiet spring for both schools. Now, don't get me wrong. The pressure is going to start ramping up any day now in regards to Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb trying to get this Alabama football team back into the college football playoff. But there's a lot of positivity with Ryan Grubb coming back to T-Town.
Do you think that is kind of the perfect spring, though? It being quiet after the chaos that was last year and the portal and replacing Saban and all that? I mean, I couldn't have scripted it any better for Alabama, I wouldn't think, this spring.
No, you're absolutely right, Mike. And the thing of it is that Kalen Bourne needed that. He needed a nice, quiet, the waters are calm. Because after that embarrassing loss to Michigan, after he had the embarrassing loss to Oklahoma, the embarrassing loss to Vanderbilt, he just needed to get to the offseason, kind of rally the troops, try to keep as many guys as they wanted from going into the transfer portal, get his guy in, who's an offensive coordinator, who they've had all the success in the world with him as the OC, and they've recruited well. They had a top five recruiting class again. So there's a lot of positivity there. And then from the Auburn perspective, the best thing that happened to Hugh Freeze was Bruce Pearl going to the Final Four, because, there's going to be more pressure, believe it or not, on Hugh Freeze this year based on his recruiting, based on the payroll. When you have articles to come out and say that Auburn is going to pay over $20 million for their football roster this year, that just ramps up the pressure even more, Mike. And with the Nico situation, people are going to expect a result for their money, return of their investment. And that's what a lot of people expect this year with Hugh Freeze.
Has the confidence level at all been shaken within the Alabama fan base with Kalen DeBoer heading into his second year?
I would say some. It was just, again, when you're on that 17 year, everyone takes it for granted that you just roll the footballs out there and it's Nick Saban. You're going to have a top three recruiting class. Alabama's going to win 10, 11, maybe 12 games playing Atlanta SEC Championship College Football Playoff. You did. You took it for granted from a fan standpoint. So now they're kind of having to readjust themselves. And instead of them getting pissed off whether Kalen DeBoer wears a collared shirt or a hoodie on the sideline, they need to pay more attention to what's going on between the white lines, so to speak. So, yeah, it's an adjustment for Alabama fans. But I think they've taken it, believe it or not, they've taken it really well in stride in regards to what the expectations are.
Yeah. Well, that being said, though, Pat, is it fair to kind of define him by year two? Because, you just look all across the SEC. Again, we should stop trying to compare him to Nick Saban, but it started with Saban, right? Kirby, Heupel, Kiffin, Urban Meyer, less miles, on and on and on. Year two is generally when these elite coaches in the Southeastern Conference really show themselves to be elite. And I'm not saying he's got to win the national championship or anything, but
right.
You know, if they go 8-4 again, I mean,
we're having a different conversation. If he goes 8-4, Mike, we're having a different conversation a year from now.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because the talent that he had coming back last year. Now, you want to give him a pass because he's fallen the legend, fallen the GOAT. But 247 had Alabama as the deepest roster on opening day of 2024 in regards to talent, the most talented roster in all of college football. It wasn't Ohio State. It wasn't Georgia. It was Alabama. And you go to Nashville and you lose. You go to Norman, Oklahoma, you didn't even get off the bus. And then you go to, you could say all you want to about a couple guys opted out, whatever. You go play a Michigan team that basically was decimated by opt-outs and you lose in the bowl game and have a pathetic performance. And by the way, your starting quarterback was a Heisman Trophy finalist the year before. That all of a sudden, that becomes a storyline going into year two because he recruited really well. What would be the excuse if you go 8-4 now? And that will not cut it. I'm just telling you. I've covered this program for quite a while, and whether it was Mike Dubose or Dennis Franchione or even, you know, Nick Saban, that first year people were raising question because you lost to La Monroe. I know that's crazy, but you lost to La Monroe. People were going, did we just make the right hire? Well, that obviously paid off in the long run. But my point being, Alabama has now set the standard again with the recruiting, with what you have from a facility standpoint. And by the way, you're paying Nick Saban $500,000 to be a consultant, then you should get more than 8 wins out of that roster and that football team. If not, then you really do have to have a hard, serious conversation about who's leading the program.
Yeah, please, Saban, don't call out Vanderbilt. Not this year. I mean, that blew up in your face last year.
Yes, very much so.
Is there quiet confidence this spring on the Plains? I mean, I hear all the stuff from Hugh Freeze, but
your favorite.
I get it. I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but for me, I mean, I don't believe a word the guy says. So this is the ultimate wild card in the SEC, in my opinion. They could be playoff bound. They could go 4-8. You know what I mean? Like, and it may be somewhere in between, more realistic. But I don't know what to make of Auburn.
You said it best. This team has one of the higher ceilings that you're going to find in the SEC. I was talking to a gentleman just the other night who had been at practice. He's a coach in the state of Alabama, and he had an opportunity to go down there and witness a couple practices. And the wide receiver room is the best in the conference, without a doubt. The biggest question mark will be, is Jackson Arnold going to be your guy that you brought in from Oklahoma, or is it going to be Deuce Knight, the freshman? Deuce Knight is the future. I was just talking about Keelan Russell down at Alabama. Deuce Knight is a big left-handed quarterback from Mississippi. He is the real deal. I'm here to tell you, Mike, he's special. And so Auburn has got a real competition on their hands. So do you go with Jackson Arnold, who's been in the SEC? Do you go with the young guy, Deuce Knight, who's got more talent than Jackson Arnold? So that'll be worth watching. They're just going to have to find a guy that can distribute the ball to Cam Coleman and Singleton, who they got out of the portal from Georgia Tech. They're loaded there. And their running back situation is kind of questionable. Defensive line up in the air. They're going to do some things, I think, in the portal in the next week or so. But for the most part, Auburn has got a very high ceiling. And I think a lot of people anticipate that this is a 9-win team. And if you don't get to 9, then the question is, how far did you fall below that 9 mark? Because as you just mentioned, year two for most coaches, that's when you kind of have that line of demarcation of which direction you're going to go. Well, Hugh Freeze is a veteran in this conference. And if he can't take the roster that he currently has and what he's been able to acquire in the portal, then you've got to ask yourself as an Auburn fan, is Hugh Freeze the guy that can get it done? And I think there'll be a lot of pressure on that if he does not get to 9 mm-hmm. wins.
Yeah, I think 9 out of 10 Auburn fans would agree with that. But what's the confidence level in Hugh Freeze within the fan base, you think, after a difficult year two? And again, all the excuses in the world, we could throw it on everybody but our coach here. Our fans, is this make or break year for the fans, you think?
I think so. And the reason why is because you have a situation that Hugh Freeze was brought in because he was the quarterback whisperer, right? Well, look at the offense. DJ Durkin had an outstanding defense that was able to keep them in ball games. The offense, Peyton Thorne was a mitigated disaster as the quarterback for Auburn, and that frustrated a lot of Auburn fans. And so now with the wide receivers that you have, the quarterback play has been the problem. You had an all-world running back last year, all-SEC, that you kind of wasted. So Auburn fans are asking legitimate questions, and I think they should. And I really think that Hugh Freeze would honestly tell you the same thing, that he kept saying that this was the year because the recruiting under Brian Harsin, as you know, Mike, was awful. It was terrible. Just look at what's going on at Cal now with everybody on the offensive side of the ball going in the transfer portal because he's their offensive coordinator now. He did an awful job. So Hugh Freeze, you had to give him a pass for a year or two to be able to acquire talent. They've acquired talent. That's a very good roster. So now he's got to do what he did at Ole Miss, which is coach up enough to where that team can be in a position where they're not under 500 as an SEC football team, and they're making those strides to potentially get to the college football playoff.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, their week one matchup has been moved to Friday. Do you think Auburn and Hugh Freeze wanted that? Because I'm already looking ahead, Pat, and saying, man, how many games are going to be on that day? I haven't seen the full schedule, but I have to believe that's the best game, nationally televised. And if you lose it on the road at Baylor, which that's a losable game. I think Auburn is a slight favorite. But, man, I just think the whole country is going to be laughing at you for 24 hours.
Well, I also think that there's a quiet confidence at Auburn. Not an arrogance, but a quiet confidence about this football team. And so whether you play the game on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or even on Labor Day night, I think this Auburn football team is very confident in their ability to go to Waco and get out of there with a win. So I don't think that was really anything that bothered them in regards to when they're going to play, especially since it's a week one game. But there will be pressure. And when we get to Atlanta, to SEC Football Media Days, that will be the team that everybody says, like you just said, Michael, they've got a high ceiling, but they've also got a floor that if certain things don't happen the right way, and then all of a sudden that confidence that I was just talking about is not available on the football field, because you were able to keep Cam Coleman and all these other guys from going into the transfer portal. What will be the reason next year in regards to how you're going to be able to keep those guys? There'll be a lot of questions with Hugh Freeze if they cannot get to 8-9 wins this year.
Mm-hmm. And then speak of intriguing openers, Alabama on the road at Florida State. Florida State disaster last year, so easy game, right? Well, I would imagine all the pressure on the world on Kalen DeBoer, but really both those coaches, it's kind of a prove-it game, but especially Alabama.
Listen, based on what we witnessed last year in Nashville, in Norman, Oklahoma, there is no place that is easy with this football team. So they're going to have to get a lot of people back on the confidence train in regards to how they feel about this football team. Because as we both know, a lot of people love to bet Alabama when they're the favorite. And if they did that last year, there might be some people looking for some loans, because it was a rough year, not only from a Vegas perspective, but the fact that you lost to opposition that did not have as much talent as you did, whether it was coaching, turnovers, preparation, players were thinking about other things, whatever the case may be, they didn't perform. And that will be a huge test to be able to go to Doak Campbell after the refurbishment and everything going on. So, yeah, that will be a really big game for Alabama and kind of a springboard for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. And then if I could get you in some trouble here, Pat, not necessarily a prediction.
You getting me in trouble? What? Usually it's the other way around. I'm trying to get you in trouble on my show.
Reverse of the roles here. Oh, which coach most likely to get fired out of the SEC? And let's take off the easy ones. You can't say Sam Pittman. You can't say Brent Venables, and you can't say Mark Stoops. So I think those are the guys that are actually most likely to get fired. Is there one that comes to mind?
Easy. Billy Napier. Come on. I thought you were going to name Billy Napier. Listen, what Billy's been able to do, and he was being able to get through that tough schedule at the end of the season last year, and a lot of optimism moving forward. There's more pressure on him now than there would have been if he'd have been 6-6 last year. So, yeah, I think it's Billy Napier. If you eliminate all those coaches that you just mentioned, I think he's the one that's going to have the most pressure on him. And if he doesn't deliver, that would be the first person fired in the SEC.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he is certainly a candidate, but like you said, just how they finished, I think that fan base is fully, they're all back on. I don't get it, Pat. I mean, I grew up, Florida was dominant. Florida was the team to beat out of the East. Now they're just okay. You go 7-5. I mean, that's a hell of a year down in Gainesville, apparently.
Yeah, and not to mention the fact that how much good was it that Todd Golden won the basketball national championship, right? I mean, Scott Strickland is saved. I mean, he doesn't care. Like, you know, Billy Napier could go 6-6, and no one's going to be calling for Scott Strickland's head because you just won us a basketball national championship. He was the biggest winner in San Antonio, in my opinion. It wasn't Todd Golden. It was Scott Strickland, because he was going to be cleaned out when Billy Napier was moving once he got fired, because the fans had it with him. Well, now you got a basketball national championship and you can't fire him.
Mm-hmm. Are your fans there on the three-man front? Are they tired of the Arch Manning hype? Or do you think
it's
warranted?
Yes.
Okay.
No. They're done. They're absolutely. As a matter of fact, they're done with Texas in the league. Like, they admit it's a mistake. Like, what do we do? We just let the wolf in the hen house, you know? Like, what have we done here? Not to mention the fact that now we got Texas on top of the baseball standings. Like, what are we doing? What has Commissioner Sankey done here? You know, it's bad enough that we had to deal with them in football. Now they're number one in baseball. It's just, it's unbelievable. So y'all get to see them at SEC baseball tournament here in Birmingham here at the end of the end of May. But yeah, no, we are. Arch Manning and, I don't know. It's a story that we're already tired of, and he'll be on every preseason magazine. Texas will be the biggest thing since sliced bread, you know, all the things.
So. Mm-hmm. All right. So last question, I kind of led into that. Who do you think will be the best quarterback this year in the SEC? And I got a feeling that you're not going to say Arch, even if it may be Arch.
Oh, man.
Because there's a lot of good to pick from. You know, I really like Lagway. Sellers is, I think, really, really good. But
I think Sellers is going to be the one that's also – I think when you talk about, all kidding aside, about Arch, I think you're going to have Sellers and Arch. They're going to be the ones that on every magazine and every conversation you have in the offseason or this summer, mm-hmm. leaning into kickoff, it's going to be about the ceiling for those two. You know, obviously Oklahoma's transfer from Washington State. I think he's a quiet, really good quarterback, so he could be in the mix. The whole Alabama-Auburn storylines, we just haven't seen Ty Simpson. And Ty Simpson might be, you know, better than Jake Coker or might be as poor as Blake Sims. I mean, I don't know. We haven't seen him. And meanwhile, at Auburn, is Jackson Arnold the answer? Deuce Knight could surprise everybody and be a wonder as a freshman. So I think it's going to be a really good year in the SEC. Not as good as it was in basketball this last year, but I think we're going to have a lot of storylines and a lot of really good football teams. The college football playoff will not screw us like they did before.
And I think what goes hand in hand with that, Pat, is good quarterback play. Because
yes, it has to. Yeah,
fair or not, I mean, a lot of these teams get evaluated on how good their quarterback is, and I, you know, I don't want to get too excited, but I think this could be the best year since, I don't know the exact year, but maybe like 2012. It just seemed like there were 8 or 9 quarterbacks that could win you a football game out of the Southeastern Conference, and I think we're going to get back to that this year.
Yeah, there's no question. And don't forget, how could I forget Nico's brother at Arkansas? Why did I not mention him? He's the guy, right?
Well, you mentioned magazine covers. I already know of one magazine that is Athlon, and they've had to pull Nico from the cover.
Have they really? Man, it's you know, and I hate it for those guys at Athlon's and Lindy's, all these guys, and because back in the old days, man, you could have that thing put to bed, ready to go to print about this time you and I are talking, and now the transfer portal and the Nico, I mean, oh my gosh, that's a lot of late nights and a lot of headaches dealing with printers on that.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Pat, before you go, can you tell my audience how to follow you and how to find the show?
Absolutely. You can follow me on social media at Pat Smith Radio on all the socials. You can follow the show at the number 3 Man Front as well. Our show's on from 10 to 2 on Jocks 94.5. We're heard in Huntsville, Birmingham, Montgomery, Mobile, Tuscaloosa. We're all over the state of Alabama. So if you're looking for your SEC fix on the radio from 10 to 2 every day, download the Jocks 94.5 app.
All right, Pat, I'll cut it right there. Thank you so much. And let me know if you need anything from me.